Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Webcast, episode 116. And joining us today, I am Steve Jobs. Everybody, I'm extremely excited to be here. And we have a great, great show for everyone. And a lot of people saw me at the event the other day. Some little punk put his video up on YouTube showing how fat I was. And I'm not really quite sure how that happened, but it's okay, it's okay. And I just want to say that I'm extremely excited to be here. And we've got some big, big things going on here with Apple. And I want to go ahead and turn the show over to the hosts. And you guys can ask the questions away.
Hello and welcome to Tech Webcast episode 116. We've got Dylan. How are you, Dylan?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm going pretty well, mate. Tim is back on Tech Webcast. What's up, Tim?
Not much, guys. How's it going?
I'm pretty well. And also we have Neil from Geek With Glasses. How are you, Neil?
Brad, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm going pretty well, mate.
Good.
Coming up on the show, Jason's not here today, so he sent me in some tech news. So I'm going to play this right now and come back with some guests, iPad 2. So here we go. Tech news, and we're back.
And now it's time for the Tech Webcast news. Australian households now face the very real possibility of having their ISP disconnect or suspend them from the internet if they pirate films or music online. And with the film industry claiming that one in every three Australians has committed movie theft and that it lost $1.37 billion in a 12-month period to piracy as a whole, many will probably be targeted. Although the federal court last week dismissed an appeal case brought against ISP iiNet by major film studios, lawyers say the judgment paves the way for copyright holders to improve the copyright infringement notices they send to ISPs and therefore compel them to do something about unauthorized downloads. The judgments provide guidance on the circumstances in which ISPs will be liable for authorizing copyright infringement, Mr. Thompson said. In a nutshell, this means an ISP such as Telstra, Optus or iiNet, among others, could easily be compelled by copyright owners to warn their customers about copyright infringement alleged to have occurred using a customer's connection, and if the ISP continues to receive notices, terminate the customer's service. Two British schoolboys have been jailed for up to 5 years for running a $26 million Facebook-style website for criminals dubbed Crimebook. Nick Weber, 19, and Ryan Thomas, 18, were found guilty of starting up and operating an online forum, ghostmarket.net, where up to 8,000 members exchanged details about thousands of stolen credit cards and who used the information to defraud banks and shops across the world, The Guardian reported. Information about 65,000 hacked bank accounts was also shared on the site, prosecutors said. Judge John Price of Southwark Crown Court in London said the fraud was on a massive scale. This was a criminal enterprise offering sophisticated advice on how to hack into computers, cause them to malfunction, and retrieve personal information from computers, and how to do it on a massive scale. He said only the age of the teenagers saved them from harsher services. Sentences. I'm extremely conscious of the youth of you all. Were you 4 or 5 years older, the sentence would be much longer. Mr. Weber and Mr. Thomas were still at school when they were arrested by police in October 2009 after trying to use the details of a stolen credit card to pay for a £1,000 hotel bill, The Guardian said. Police found 100,000 stolen credit card details on Mr. Weber's laptop and traced it back to the ghostmarket.net site, the biggest criminal website they had ever uncovered. San Francisco, Australia's chief executive Steve Jobs has taken the stage to unveil the iPad 2, the upgraded version of its market-leading tablet computer. His appearance is a surprise given he announced he was taking medical leave in January as a result of pancreatic cancer and liver transplant. Jobs said the new iPad, which goes on sale in the US on March 11 and in Australia on March 25, was an all-new design with a new processor that would make the device twice as fast. A new version of the Apple mobile operating system, iOS 4.3, will also come out as a free update on March 11. The first thing is it's dramatically faster, he said, talking about the new dual-core A5 processor. It's up to 9 times faster on the graphics. As expected, the iPad 2 comes with front and rear-facing cameras and a built-in gyro for advanced gaming. The Apple CEO said the new iPad would be 33% thinner, from 13.4mm to 8.8mm thick. He said that it would make it thinner than the iPhone 4. The iPad 2 would also be lighter, 590 grams versus 680 grams. He said the iPad 2 would come in 2 colours, black and white. "And we will be shipping white from day one," he quipped, a reference to the long-delayed white iPhone 4, which has been held back due to production issues. Jobs said the new iPad would go on sale at the same starting price. The base model of the original iPad sold for $629 in Australia, although that has now been cut to $449. A new Facebook app that immediately alerts users when someone on whom they have a crush changes their relationship status is causing a stir. To some, it might be seen as an invasion of privacy. To others, the ultimate tool to find out when a crush becomes available. But to US-based Dan Lowenhertz, 24, who is the founder of the Breakup Notifier Facebook app, it was a joke, at least to begin with. Although Facebook lets users view the relationship status of any friend at any time, the Breakup Notifier app alerts you automatically via email, removing the need to check constantly. The Breakup Notifier app was launched on February 20 and attracted more than 10,000 profile installs, Mr. Lowenhertz said, but after some negative feedback, Facebook blocked it, he said. However, shortly after it was blocked, Mr. Lowenhertz relaunched it again under the new name Crush Notifier. The Crush Notifier app differs from the Breakup Notifier app in that both people need to have a crush on each other before they'll find out whether there's a possibility of a relationship. You'll not receive an email unless you both crush each other, the app site states. But now that Facebook has unblocked the Breakup Notifier app, Mr. Lowenhertz is charging for its use, as well as charging for the Crush Notifier app. When first launched, both apps were free. And that's the news for Tech Webcast for today.
All right, that is Tech Webcast news for today. Thank you to Warlock, and great news by him. Any views on the stories, guys? You probably have to have much view, because that's probably to do with Australia, but, you know. Now, special guest, we have Gadget Girl. How are you? Can you hear me?
Gadget Girl.
Gadget Girl, where are you? Is she not here?
I think she fell asleep.
We lost her.
God.
Aww.
No, she hasn't hanged up. She hasn't hanged up on Skype. She's there.
Oh, well, she's away right now.
God, where is she? Okay. Anyway, iPad 2, guys. Let's get into iPad 2. What are your views on iPad 2? Let's start with Michael.
Well, you know, I was pretty excited by the aspects of what they were promising with the thinner and the dual core processor chip. The whole rumor of adding other apps and everything. What I really am extremely excited about is the iMovie app.
Yep.
I kind of wish it was a little more intensive as far as what iMovie is like now on the iMac or the OS system. But I understand why the simplicity of it and just what you need to do. I'm really interested to see if you would be able to actually take footage a shot outside of the iPad and put it on there. I mean, that never seems to come up, or anything you really want to see seems to come up, so I don't know how possible that will be, obviously, since when you typically shoot something in RAW, it can be a pretty large file to go ahead and move over to that. So, I mean, at that point, when that starts happening, I feel is when the iPad truly becomes more of a production device, as opposed to more of a recreational device.
For sure. All right.
When you're able to start.
I was just going to say, the reason I never got the iPad, the original one, is because I wanted to make it a Skype phone. Yeah, yes, nice yes. to have the ability to have the video conferencing and all that.
And so. Welcome to the podcast, Gadget Girl. We
thank you.
We didn't get you in the first time. Sorry.
Yeah, so, I'm here.
Okay, good. It's good on you. Okay, now Neil, what about you? What's up with the iPad 2? What do you think of it?
My personal opinions are, I think Apple finally caught up. They set the bar with the iPad 1, and all the other manufacturers have been producing better hardware since the iPad, the original iPad. And the iPad 2, I think, is just playing catch-up. To me, the iPad 2 caught up to the iPhone 4,
yep.
And I don't think they did anything groundbreaking. I'm upset that they didn't give us a higher resolution screen. I think it would have been nicer to have a dedicated graphics chip in there, to tell you the God's honest truth. They're really, you know, leveraging the iPad as being a mobile gaming platform. You know, by putting the gyroscope in, I think they're going a little bit more towards, you know, being a mobile gaming platform, yet it doesn't have a dedicated video chip. I understand the new dual core chip is out there, and it's, you know, promising 9 times better graphics, which, yeah, I don't believe that. And, you know, it's going to be twice as fast. But to be completely honest with you, I think Apple needs to step it up with iOS. iOS 4.3 is not going to do much of anything other than give us AirPlay and some compatibility with, you know, with Verizon and the tethering for the AT&T iPhones. And I want a more media-rich OS. I think iOS is lacking when it comes to what I'm looking for in my device. I think the current OS that Apple is putting out, the iOS, I think it's dated, and it's 2 years old. It's 4 years old, and I think they need to do a total refresh. I'd like to have more interactive use with the tablet. My opinion of a tablet is, it's not my laptop. I'm not going to do my work on it. It's not my phone, so I'm not going to carry it everywhere I go, but it's my when I don't want to run downstairs to my desktop or to my laptop. It's when I'm sitting on the couch or I'm laying in bed or I'm sitting at the coffee table having breakfast. And I want it to be more media rich. I want widgets on the screen. I want scrollables. And I wrote a blog entry on geekwithglasses.net a few weeks back about how I think Honeycomb is really starting to hit the nail on the head with what a tablet OS really should be. So I think they need to step it up a little bit, and I'd like to see some drastic improvements in iOS 5.0. And like I said, I'm a little upset. I like the new form factor. I think it looks cool. Having the cameras obviously was a must. They had to do that, but I wish they would have given us a at least a 780p screen resolution.
So you're going to be buying one, Neil?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to be buying one?
So now that's my quandary.
Oh, okay.
I have everything. You know, I do everything at home. Obviously, I've got a MacBook. I've got an Apple TV. I've got AirTunes in my, you know, for all of my radios. And I have an iPhone 4. And currently, I control everything from my iPhone 4. And I sit on the couch with my wife. And what do? We're constantly looking at our iPhones to get information about a movie or an actor or setting a recording or looking up movies. And I won't be able to have a lot of that integration if I don't buy an iOS device. If I go out and I buy, you know, one of the Dell tablets coming out, or if I go and buy a Motorola tablet coming out, I'm not going to have the interoperability with my existing network. And I think that's the whole point. You know, Apple kind of hooks you, because once you buy Apple stuff, you realize that it's easy and it works great and it's very reliable, and you don't want to switch away from it because you lose some of that compatibility. So I'm not sure when I'm going to get one. I'd like to get one, but at the same time, I also want to get my hands on a Honeycomb device. So,
cool.
Neil,
cool.
It's Mike. The one thing that really makes me nervous about Android and what they have going on is it's what I saw with the phones, and I'm liking that we're finally getting a year into what Android is and really getting solid with the phones that have been out. And what really scares me about moving up from a phone with Android to a tablet is just the amount of products they put out there and the amount of devices that they create, which I can only imagine is going to be the exact same thing as the phones. They're just going to keep pumping these devices out. And one of the things that I think Apple has advantage over all of them is that when you get a device that's Apple, you know that you are going to be supported for a couple years. Now, we all know in the tech world, being supported for a couple years is like, you know, 20 years on a car or 10 years on a car, which we all know most of us, you know, or most people in the world are getting to the point where if a car lasts 10 years, you're lucky. and you're extremely happy with it. But I think what really turns me away from even trying an Android device is the fact that in less than 6 months they're going to come out with something new, and they haven't even tested to see if it's going to work on the device that I've currently bought, and that I may not get the update. And that's the thing is, you know, we talk about getting the system updated and getting the latest and greatest, and I know Android, you know, hasn't been around as long as the Apple OS, but the idea that, you know, they just keep pumping out these updates and pumping out these devices where they're making them faster and faster and faster, but the device you just bought 6 months ago doesn't even get the brand new iOS, the brand new OS, because it can't handle it. And they haven't tested it on it, and they just—it's basically, I guess, to make a long story short, which is too late, it's a throwaway device, and that sucks. And that's what really makes me not want to do it.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I also think in the mindset of when iOS 4 came out. If you put it on your 3G, you bricked it until they changed it all around.
Right,
and they did reprogram the OS so that it didn't brick your legacy 3G phone. 3GS, it ran okay. But I actually have, knocked my mic. I actually have my old 3G right here, which is actually my kid's gaming phone now. And I still haven't put iOS 4 on it. I'm leaving it with the original OS on it so that it runs fast. Now, same concept, and I'm not in any way pumping Android or the devices. When it comes to the device, you know, this is the sexy right here. You know, this is what you want. You want an iPhone. Right. You want an iPhone 4, or iPhone 5 when it comes out later this year. But where I think Apple needs to step it up is within the operating system. I really think that the dated, static, intrusive alerts, you know, I mean, you're using Skype, you're playing a game, you get a text message, your entire game pauses and the whole screen becomes a pop-up. I just want a little flag up in the top of the screen to say, hey, you've got this. You know, that type of thing. So,
all right, well, we've got to move on.
I'm sorry.
Tim, let's get your opinion on the iPad too, mate. What's your view?
Okay, firstly, I guess how it's missing the HDMI port, it's missing a standard USB port, and it's missing like a SD card reader slot, right? So I think that's a big disadvantage, the fact that it doesn't, you know, come with that. I think that Apple is trying to profiteer off all of its customers by not offering a $3 SD card slot. Like, that's what it would cost them to integrate it, right?
Yep.
They can charge hundreds of dollars extra to, you know, sell them with a bit of extra memory in them built in, and I think that's a great scam of theirs. So for those reasons, I kind of don't want to buy it. I'd love to be given an iPad to own it and to review it and things like that, but at $800 or $600 they start at, or something like that.
No, they've gone down in price, mate. The iPad one, they've gone in price.
$499 starting point, 16 gigs with Wi-Fi only is $499.
The iPad 2, is it? Yeah. iPad
2. Yeah.
$499, yeah, you can buy two Android ePads for that.
Yeah, but they suck, though.
So, you know, that's why. But at the same time, Android is, to be honest, it's not as good as iOS yet. I've been using my iPhone 3GS, which was given to me recently, a lot, and I'm loving all the apps in this app store. It's got millions more apps than Android does. You know, and there's things like that my mum would be interested in, like the Age newspapers and things like that, which are only available on iOS at the moment, and they're real world apps that sort of aren't available on Android yet. There's a few other, there's just quite a few apps that aren't there. So we need developers to put more work into, you know, building their apps for Android as well. And we need that honeycomb available for all the ePads, and that's not yet. You know, so probably in another year, once more major manufacturers like Samsung and stuff start pumping out their Android tablets, maybe we can have, you know, some improvements and stuff. But so far, with most of the cheap Android tablets, you can't sort of upgrade them without sort of rooting them yourself, and you might brick them and things like that. So, so if you want just something that works, and you go for an iPad if you've got the money. But if you're you know, that's my opinion. And if you're a super geek and you want to hack at something, then get an ePad.
All right. What about you, Dylan?
If I was going to get a tablet right now, I'd get a Motorola Zoom. I watched some reviews and some YouTube videos on it and read some blog posts, and I realize the apps aren't quite there yet. In fact, on the one video I saw, there was a review of the Zoom. There's only like 15 or 20 available apps at that time, but that will obviously increase, I think, very rapidly over the next several months and into a year. We'll have a lot more apps, and I don't know. I like the fact that there's, you know, you've got an operating system, finally, a version of Android that is designed for tablets. They can work well on a tablet. It's not just a blown-up phone OS.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can have the widgets on there, and you know, they're saying a lot of things that you can't do on the iPad, and I believe they're about the same price right now. So if I was going to go for one, I'd get a Motorola Zoom.
All right.
Well,
cool.
for what you get for the memory and stuff like that and the hard drive, it's in my opinion a good bit more than the iPad.
All right, let's talk to the guest, Gadget Girl. How are you today?
Hey, all right.
What's up?
I'm here. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to weigh in. I am getting the Zoom in pretty soon. I'm going to talk about it on a tour. So at the end of March, I'm going to actually have it in and talk about it. But what I wanted to bring up is, do any of you guys remember the Rio player? That was like
MP3
player.
Exactly. Not a lot of people even know what the heck I'm talking about. But
Creative
essentially,
Labs.
Yeah. Well, and the deal with that was the software sucked. The software sucked. It took you like 4 hours just to upload a one song. But the reason I brought that up is Apple is kind of in a similar. It's ironic that they are now in this position where their software is lagging. And if they don't, you know, really step up, like some of you guys have been saying, the Zoom really could literally Zoom. Because, I mean, you know, that's the problem. The problem is their software isn't up to par, and that's unfortunate.
No, I agree. The Windows 7 tablets are going to be a big rival to the iPad as well.
Right.
We shouldn't discount Windows 7 as really an operating system to be used on tablets.
All right. So, Gadget Girl, what do you do? What's your website about? We got you on to talk about what you do.
Yeah, what do I do?
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm on TV. I'm on TV, and I talk about gadgets, and I'm funny.
What TV show are you on? What sort of? Because we don't.
I'm on all kinds of television shows across the country. You know, local news and talk shows.
Okay.
So I go out on the road. I'm a spokesperson.
Nice.
Per se, and then I also do editorial stuff. I used to be a comic. So I don't know. I saw people doing this gig, and I thought I could do it funny. Because most geeks are so damn boring, and they're always in black, and they're just really, really boring.
I totally agree.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Especially the women. They are really awful. So, you know.
What do you mean? Look at me. I'm cute.
I know. Tee-hee. That's the thing. You know, funny is not feminine, you know? Mm. Real funny is not feminine. No. But that's a whole other show.
Excuse me.
Somebody's phone.
So, what's your favorite gadget at the moment, Gadget Girl?
I was talking to, and you know what? I'll send you. I don't know if I have a photo of it right now, but I have this. I love really quirky, strange stuff that you don't see here. Stuff from Japan.
Okay.
So I found this little. It's called a pink dolphin. It's probably about 2 inches by 2 inches. And you know in Japan how there's a problem in the subways with guys groping people? Women. I guess they would mainly be groping women. So at any rate, there's a problem with that, right?
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, there's a big problem with that. So this company has come up with this little, it's called a pink seal. And what's fantastic about it is it's a taser. And so it's a cell phone. It goes on your, it's like a cell phone strap. But the tail on the seal drops down, and then you tase the guy. It's kind of fun.
Nice.
I'd love a taser.
Like that sounds funny. Yeah.
I guess Japan must be getting as bad as like South Africa. I'm not sure if South Africa is still the rape capital of the world or not, but I know at one point it was, and they had these like devices out to, you know, they would sell these and even give them away to women on the streets to prevent rapes because it was that bad.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
Right. Well, we don't want to get into a whole rape topic, you know.
No,
rape
topic.
It's a tech show.
This is necessary.
This is what the tiger wants and the Adana DNA.
Exactly. Yeah, Killadelphia. But so anyway, so those types of things are really kind of my favorite. I'm always and you know what? I'm always looking for the guy in his garage who's created something that nobody else has. That's always of interest to me too.
Okay. All right. So, have you ever been to Australia before?
No, I have not. I've always wanted to go. So, yeah.
Too. Would love to go to Australia.
Yeah, Australia's very nice here. And hope you
can. Did you see the Oprah Australia specials?
I did.
Yeah.
She walked over the bridge.
Not a fan. I am not a fan.
No, me neither.
No, not at all.
So, what sort of a phone do you use and stuff do you use? Gadget Girl?
Like
iPad or any Apple?
Apple. And I can't wait for the 5 to come out. That would be very nice. And I'm sorry to interrupt. I just really totally agree also with I don't know who said this earlier about the fact that it's kind of an in-between device. The iPad is an in-between device. It's more lounging on the – it's more media. You know, what are you going to do with all your media?
Yeah, kind
of, it's, you know what? You know what's weird? It's kind of like this gigantic overpriced remote.
Phone.
Yeah.
You got it.
No,
absolutely.
Serious. That's what it is. It's just a bridge for all your media, and you have these dials, and it looks fancy, and wow, there's bright colors. But really, when it gets down to it, it's just this giant remote, and that's kind of too bad.
I personally think the iPad 2 is an iMac.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it needs flash.
Yeah.
Gadget Girl, it's interesting that you actually said that because some of the most – actually the most common used app on my phone – I have music on 24 hours a day in my house pretty much – is the Apple Remote app so that I can control my iTunes library that's hooked up throughout the house.
Yep.
And then the other thing is the Verizon Fios DVR app, which is just controlling my DVR. It's very much a remote control app. A device, and that's I think that's what tablet PCs are for, and they're for traveling, and they're for when you don't need the horsepower personally, to play devil's advocate, Michael. But I personally think think iMovie for an iPad is completely ridiculous in my opinion. It's just
really? I reckon
I'm not going to
be
holding a 10-inch tablet around to take videos.
Draggy. I'm trying to crop clips. And
true. I did make fun of that.
1080p on that,
I did make fun of that.
Now, what I would like to see, what I think would be really cool is one thing that I've always, one of the reasons I held off on buying one of the original iPads is I was really frustrated. I wanted to use it as a secondary monitor without a jailbreak or without an app. I wanted to plug it into my USB port on my computer and have it used as a secondary monitor. What I would really like is if I could somehow use the iPad as a control and tether it to iMovie on my computer. So I could use my iPad as a scrubber. I can use the iPad to drag and drop transitions. Now that I think would be cool instead of the little glass pad on my MacBook.
Cool.
But as far as actually taking a video and editing, first of all, I would never use my iPad to take video because I've got an iPhone 4. It's going to take the same quality video, and I can pull it out on the airplane and film as I fly over the Grand Canyon with this little device as opposed to holding this up to the window and
That's
trying to get it into the window
good
frame.
Point.
So,
right.
You know, I'm never going to use that to make movies ever.
Right. Well, my biggest thing is if I can take stuff and put it on it, I probably would use it a lot more. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Hey, well, and then like you said though, the minute you dump a raw 720p HD file to edit, you just lost all your space. In fact, you can have 3 minutes worth of video to edit.
I bet there's no way it could handle the files from like a high end Canon HD camera.
No, probably not.
Like you need a quad core just to sort of deal with that at all.
Yeah. Well, I use iMovie on my iPhone 4. I love it, and I'll be using it on the iPad.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine for low definition videos that it records itself.
720p. So.
Yeah,
that's fine. So, what about you, Dylan? What's your view on the iMovie and stuff? You don't use iMovie, do you? On your iPod Touch?
I don't use iMovie. I don't use it on my iPod Touch, but I think it would be kind of nice to have on the iPad. Think of it this way. Say you're doing a video for your YouTube channel, likely shooting with the front-facing camera, but nonetheless, You could easily cut out the beginning or the end, do some basic editing in iMovie on the iPad before uploading it. It's things like that. It's you know, I wouldn't use it all the time. I wouldn't use it as a primary video editor. But Certainly. If I've got the iPad and I want to do a quick video for one of my YouTube channels, it would be great for that.
True.
What do y'all think about it as a gaming device, real quick?
Yeah, I think it's a decent. It's a lot of fun for a gaming device. Yeah. Definitely.
What kind of games?
I would like car racing games on it, so you can kind of steer it like this. You know, just tilt it like a steering wheel and sort of that kind
Me
of
too.
Stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the silly games. The Angry Birds
and
I'm a casual gamer. I tried to get into games like World of Warcraft or, you know, PC games. I can't do it. The only PC game I have ever played all the way through is Grand Theft Auto 4, if that tells you anything about what kind of gamer I am. So the casual games on iOS is exactly the kind of stuff I like.
Tiny Wings.
I was just going to say, I actually have a Facebook game. It's a Gadget Girl game. And the whole premise behind the game is you get to kill other Gadget Girls.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
It's great. It's fantastic. You should see the art. I got these guys down in Argentina to do the art. It's amazing because it's the antithesis of, you know, Farmville or any of that cutesy crap. It's really slick art. And what you do is you slam them over the head, and then they stick out their tongues and their hair falls out.
Nice.
And, I know.
Wow.
It's pretty fun.
That's crazy. All right. Well,
all this talk of games, Brad. Games. It's made me lose the game.
Yes, you have lost the game. Now, Gadget Girl, just before we go, what are you doing at the moment, and what sort of shows are you on before you go? Because I never really heard of you before.
Right.
And you're on Computer Bill
with you.
And you're on Computability. That's why I got hold of you.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I'll send you some links and stuff. You can see kind of what I'm doing.
All right, cool.
I'm shooting a reality show, the Gadget Girl Roadkill.
Oh, nice.
And it's very cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Good stuff. So. Good stuff. All right, and what about you, Tim? Any news you want to before we go?
I got another Fractal Design case. Did you see my Fractal Design review?
No.
It's this new Swedish company that make computer cases, and they're the highest quality. They're really quiet. And I bought a R3, which was like a MIDI tower size, and did some reviews of it, and everyone loved it. NCIS Tips did reviews of it too. One of my fans sort of told me about it. And then the guy next door has gone out and bought the extra large full tower size one, and he wants to swap it with me. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'll be doing next week. I've got more Fractal Design videos to do. And also, I got given my first free tech sample to review for my show, and that was by Thermolab, who's a Hong Kong company that makes heat sinks, and they emailed me and said, do you want a free heat sink to review? And I said, sure. And I did an unboxing of that the other day, and I still need to do the install tutorial benchmark review.
Sick.
So that's what I'm sort of in. I'm in hardware mode at the moment.
And what about the helicopters you bought, Tim?
Misses my screencasts.
Beg your pardon? What about the helicopters you bought, mate? Tell me.
Yeah, I'm getting right into helicopters. That's also because I've got this other joint project channel that I'm working on with my best mate, Nick, called Spoiler Car. So there's another channel, Spoiler Car. And it's basically just supposed to be like Top Gear Australia, right? Cool. But just the cars that me and my mates are into. And you know how Top Gear always have like all these awesome aerial shots of the cars and stuff, like from helicopters and stuff, they do it. So that was why I started buying helicopters, because it was the idea to mount little cameras onto them and then fly them over cars to get awesome aerial shots and stuff like that.
But
so far, it hasn't worked out, and I haven't actually been able to do it. I need to get a bigger helicopter and stuff like that. I bought a spy cam and stuff, and I haven't done a video about that yet either. So.
80 mile an hour wind shears from fast cars kind of mess with remote control helicopters, don't they?
Totally. Like, yeah, the ones I've bought so far don't really work outside yet. You need quite a powerful one, so I've got to spend some more money on it. But
just get a real helicopter. Come on.
It's a lot of fun. The little ones that you fly around indoors, they're heaps of fun, and I've put a few videos of that on my
cats
Aussie Tim
love them.
Yeah.
Channel. You know, I want a cat too. When I move out, I'm going to get a cat.
I just want to mention. CAG 101 is going to be replaying Tech Webcast and Tech Luster on his new radio station. So I can't wait for that.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Casey.
You know about that, Dylan?
I didn't know about that, but Casey's a good friend of mine, and I listened to his I think he just started the radio it's thing CAG. Back up, and I'm going to have to listen to that.
Yeah,
so.
It's CAG101, awesome. CAG101media.com.
Yep.
Yes, 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 there is time. Yes, can I go ahead?
You can okay. ask. Yeah, can I just ask you guys a really quick question, because it's something I'm interested in.
Sure.
Is there any kind of really weird, strange media that you guys are into? And what I mean by that is I know people who listen to 24-hour police chases.
Ah, yes, yes, I do.
You know, and stuff like that. So yes. I'm always looking for some really strange media that people are kind of, you know, that they're really into. Any of you guys into that kind of stuff?
Yes, I am. I listen to the police on my iPhone. There's an app called, what's it called?
Police radio scanner.
That's it. Yeah, it's yeah. cool. Yeah. You can listen to the
police scanner.
Yeah, police scanner. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
I'm into. Okay. There's this new pod. Well, it's not really new, but I've just discovered it recently. It's called Techno Gaze, and it's another podcast like ours. It's a Australian Melbourne technology podcast, but it's on Joy FM. So you go to joyfm.com.au or org.au or something like that, and you can download it from there. And it's also on the radio because they have a community radio station 94.7, which I've joined there as a volunteer, so I might start volunteering for them. And I want to get onto their show as well. So, but anyone who's in Melbourne can listen to it on at 7 o'clock on Mondays, or yeah, joy.org.au. And right. You might be interested in checking that out, Gadget Girl.
Because I was wondering about as international shows as well. If any of you other guys listen to international shows. And when international radio first popped up, I was listening to obscure, you know, like the North Pole. And I was Tasmania. Because it was so cool to be able to listen to whatever was going on in really remote areas, you know. Yeah. So,
see, I'm opposite. I kind of like watching what's going on. So, you know, every now and then I visit like the EarthCam websites and look and see what's going on in different countries around the world.
Oh, yes, there's a good application on BoxBox for that. I use it all the time.
Yes. That's good.
All right. Okay, Dylan, any last words before we go, mate? What's going on with your podcast, mate?
I'm the king of the internet.
Thank you to
everyone that came on the show today. You guys are all awesome, and thanks to CAG101, and thanks, Brad, for having me on the show.
Hey, you're good, buddy. You'll be here next week, won't you?
I will.
And Jason will be here next week. MTP Flyers, any last words, mate?
No, just you can find me on YouTube at under MTP Flyers, and I'm writing for a new blog. Called runaroundtech.com.
Cool, good That's stuff. It. I'll check that out. And what about you, Gadget Girl? Any last words?
No.
Okay. Thanks. thanks for being
That's
on.
Awesome.
That's yeah. That is awesome. Yeah. Is very funny.
I had to mess you guys up. I just like
cool.
doing that.
That's cool. You're very funny. And Neil, what about you?
Same old. You can find me at geekwithglasses.net, and also check out lalacooks.com for the recipes done by my lovely wife. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus since pregnancy has set in, and being on camera is the last thing she wants to do right now.
Okay.
So other than that, it's been great to be back on the show once again.
No problems, Neil. Come back anytime, mate. And you can find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, Tech Luster, Tech Webcast, and Facebook, Tech Webcast. And Tim, where can they find you?
OSGUI.com, and I've also started a new website since still in development for OSYTim, AussieTim.com. And
so
yeah,
no more Linux stuff, mate.
No, I love Linux. What are you talking about? Just taking a hiatus.
I thought you hated it.
Can I tell you guys a really quick thing from
he just takes Windows.
Can I just tell you guys a really quick thing from CES, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show?
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a guy and he's outside the auditorium and he can't get in and he's talking on his cell phone and he's trying to be like, you know, do you have the tickets? Do you have the tickets? And then he turns around and he's wearing a pair of jeans that, you know how they have a strip on the side of the jeans that has the size?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like 34, 34, 34 all the way up his backside.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also I went into the bathroom near the sex show because they always have the, you know, they have the consumer
ABN.
Electronics show. And then they
ABNs,
have exactly. Yeah. So I went into the restroom and all the women in there were completely naked and they freaked out over me. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Jeez. That's amazing that I could flip them out.
That's crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yep. All right. Well, this has been episode 116 of Tech Webcast. Leave some comments on iTunes and on Twitter. Thanks, guys, for being on.
Thank you for having us.
That's thanks, good Jim, for having us.
And I hope you all enjoy the iPad too.
This is Tech Webcast. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.